This is Samuel Leeds. He dropped out of school at 16 and went on to build a property portfolio worth over £20 million.
Last year we did just over £20 million.
Before the money, Samuel started out managing real estate for free, but now he owns hundreds of properties including houses, hotels and factories spread across the UK and Africa. And he's teaching millions of others how to do the same. We spent a day with him to learn exactly how he became a property millionaire.
What I would do is what we call the strategy.
That's how I became a millionaire.
How to start investing in property with no money and the exact strategies you can use to get rich in property in 2024. This is More Than Numbers.
How many properties do you own?
I own hundreds of properties. Combination of big properties, hotels, apartments, commercial, residential.
And what would you say the valuation of this property portfolio is?
In excess of 20 million.
That's crazy.
GDV, probably about 35, 40 million.
Samuel, you've been buying properties for the last 15 years. Tell me, what are you buying right now?
So I've bought a couple of small hotels. I've got a factory that I'm converting into 48 apartments, land, development. So rather than like buying houses and renting them out, it's more commercial and development.
Got you. Can you name some of these purchases?
So 2 months ago, I bought a Staddon Grange in Buxton. Eagle Works in Wolverhampton, that's a factory that we bought. Willingham House, I bought that on an option agreement. It cost me £1.
No way.
29 bedrooms. Hotel.
How many businesses do you actually run within your?
Depends how you define run. So I've got like shares in a lot of different companies. I've got my property development business, which is mine. Property investment company. I've got an education company. Property investors mediation service. I've got Samuel Leeds Finance, which loans out money to help other people get properties.
Yeah.
And then I've also got shares in Deal Sourcer, which is like fintech software. So yeah, a lot of different companies, but the theme is property in all of them.
How much turnover are you making a year?
So last year we did just over £20 million.
What? 20 million?
Yeah.
How much was that? Was profit though?
Profit? 5.5 million.
Oh, great numbers. Well, we're outside one of your investment properties. Any chance we can check it out?
Of course, mate.
Okay, so we're in a multi-million pound home, but things didn't always start off here. At what age did you get into property?
I wanted to get into property at 16,
yeah.
But I ended up going really full force into it, 17 years old.
What inspired that at 17 years old?
Well, I didn't have any other options. I failed in school. I was working for my dad, and my dad was an entertainer, so he used to do like children's parties and things like that. So it was either that and get paid very little and work until I die,
yeah,
or something else. And I ended up going to like a property investment seminar, networking event, met some people there and just thought, yeah, man, this is possible. This is what I want to do.
And what strategy did you use from that course that you took part in to buy your first property?
Basically, I just borrowed the money from the bank and got a guarantor. The first house that I bought was 21A Maryvale Road. I bought it for 100% financed for 100 grand.
Yeah.
Still own it today. It's now worth 300,000.
Wow.
Still making money today.
How much money did you start off with and what did you spend it on?
There's a saying that says, property is not the best investment. The best investment is yourself.
Right.
So I put that little bit of money that I did have into myself to learn about how to use debt, how to get loans, how to buy properties below market value, how to package them, how, you know, so I think that I'd rather now you take away all my portfolio of wealth than take away my knowledge.
So at what age would you say you felt like financially free?
21.
And how many properties did you have on your portfolio at that age?
About 12. Yeah, 12 houses, and I was making, a lot of them were HMOs, so I was like renting them out room by room.
Yeah.
And I was making around about maybe 5-6 grand a month, passive income. And that was when I was like, you know what? I literally don't have to work anymore.
And what would you say the best strategy that has worked for you so far?
I've got a toolbox of different strategies: raising finance, negotiation, sales, predicting the market, purchase lease option agreement, flipping. Depending on the house that I'm looking at, I'll pull out the right tool and then I'll make the money.
Okay, what would you say a strategy that you've probably lost money on?
Buy to let.
Really?
Yeah.
Why was that?
Well, because if you buy a house or rent it out, if you're only making 200 quid a month profit after the mortgage, if the boiler breaks, that's a whole year's profit gone.
Just like that.
So there have been some houses that I've even sold because they just weren't making any money. I mean, if you hold them for long enough, you'll make money from the capital appreciation, sure. But I think that's probably the weakest strategy there is, just literally buying a house, renting it out, normal house. You want to buy a house that's got multiple doors. If you buy a house that's like a HMO where you've got one house but you've got five people living in it, that's more profitable than just having a small family home. Or don't own an apartment. If you just buy an apartment and rent it out, unless you're clever about it and you rent it out maybe on short stay lets and you're getting a high rent, I'd rather buy a big rundown house and turn it into a small apartment block. Then I own the block now.
Yeah.
Now I've not got service charges. I've not got ground rent because I am the developer.
Yeah. Let's take it back a bit. How did you go from your first property to 12 properties at the age of 21?
So most of my portfolio consisted of lease option agreements. So basically, if you want to buy a car that's 20 grand, most people haven't got 20 grand to just buy the car.
Right.
So they'll put down a small deposit, they'll pay a small monthly fee, and then at the end of the period of 5 years, they can either have the keys back or they have the option to buy it.
Right.
You can do the same in property. And it's called purchase lease option. You purchase it, but first you lease it. So I got a bunch of houses, I leased them and with an agreement with a fixed price to buy them at the end of the term. And that's like 5-7 year terms. But what happened was the market went up.
Mm.
So now I'm benefiting from the cash flow.
Yeah.
I'm saving up that money. And then at the end of the term, I'm using that to put down as a deposit to buy them. So that was the creative way that I built up a lot of my pool. And I still do that now. So earlier when I was talking about the hotels that I've got and even the factory that I bought that factory for 25 grand. 25 grand was the purchase lease option that I had to pay.
Right.
With an agreement to pay the rest later. But then when I came to pay for the rest, I'd already got planning permission for 48 apartments. So now I've massively pushed the value up. So it's very little risk and very high reward. If you invest in one of my training programs, there's a risk, it might not work. So you've got to look at the risk, then you've got to look at the reward, then you've got to work out the best case, the worst case, the likely case, and then you've got to take an educated decision.
We're going to get into the education bit a bit later. Before that, what would you say the biggest flip you've made from property?
I would say in 2020, as we went into lockdown, I made 10 times my money in 12 months. And that was on a piece of land in Buckinghamshire that I agreed to buy on an option. I had to put down £10,000. I then got planning permission for two houses on the land, which significantly increased the value. I ended up making £112,000 profit, and it was all done within 9 months.
So on the flip side of that, what's the biggest loss you made in property?
The biggest losses would be more when I've lost a little bit of money, but a lot of time. I've got like a house in Durham, and it's just a nightmare. The mortgage payments are about £350, the rent's about £550. £200 a month profit on paper, but I've just had bad tenant after bad tenant, leak after leak. It hasn't made a penny, it's lost money, but it's just annoying.
Okay, Samuel, we're in another one of your properties. How much is this one worth, actually?
I bought it for £3 million.
Right.
A few years ago, spent about £500,000 on it. Like, I'd say it's probably worth four million now plus,
right.
But I wouldn't sell it. So
in 2024, do you think property can make you a lot of money?
The thing is, at the moment, the market, we're probably in more of a buyer's market because interest rates shot up recently. House prices, people are a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
That's the time, in my opinion, when you can get the best deals. So as long as you buy right, you can make money 100%.
And if I had no money, can I make money in property?
If you've got no money, you can make money 100%. But if you learn about property and you're in the right community, you're going to get rich.
Yeah.
Because even if you're just finding deals and you can't buy them, but you're able to just pass them on to investors and get like a fee.
Yeah.
That's how I became a millionaire.
Crazy. There's a lot of creative strategies within the property game. What strategy would you say for someone who has limited knowledge in property?
If you've got limited knowledge, I would say don't get into anything.
Right.
You know, go and start viewing properties, go on Rightmove, save the best ones, go and view them, go to some property networking events, read some books.
Yeah.
Once you've got a bit of knowledge, start small.
Yeah.
And then just build up.
Let's say I work a 9-to-5, I earn about 30k a year. What strategy would you recommend that I go into in 2024 that would eventually allow me to quit my job?
So the goal, if the goal was to replace that, I would probably look at rent to rent. I'll rent an apartment for a grand and then I'll rent it out, but I'll rent it out on short stay lets.
Okay.
On Airbnb, and I'll run it as a service department. If you're getting £100 a night, £3,000 a month,
yeah,
and you're paying the landlord £1,000, after your void periods and your management and your costs, you still could be left with £1,000 profit. Do that twice, you've replaced your income.
Let's say you have a budget of 50K.
Mm.
What strategy would you use and why?
So I could buy a house for £200,000 and put down 25% deposit. Now I've got a mortgage, rent it out, maybe I'll make a few hundred pounds a month. But I wouldn't do that, because if I did that, I've lost my £50,000.
Right.
My £50,000 is now tied up in one property. So what I would do is what we call the buy, refurbish, refinance strategy. So I would use my £50,000 to buy a rundown property.
Yeah.
That could be worth £200,000. Oh. Right now it's estate.
Yeah.
And I'd buy it with a bridging loan. I'd refurb it, push the value up. So now let's say I spent £150,000 in total, but now it's worth £200,000. Now I can refinance it. I can get a new mortgage. And I'm going to get 75% of the new value, which means I'm getting my 150 back. That's what I'm doing today on big deals. So for instance, that factory I told you about,
yeah,
bought it for £1 million, spending about 3.5 on it, but then the new value is 6.7. So now I've made a couple mil profit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sell, I'm going to refinance, get my money back. Now I've got 48 free properties. Now I can go again on my next deal. So you just, what rich people do and how the rich get richer is recycle their money again and again, yeah, rather than making money and then just getting it, tying it up on one deal.
Yeah. You spoke earlier when you was 21, HMO was your strategy, yeah, at that time.
Yeah.
Would you use that strategy today, and how would you sort of implement that strategy?
Yeah, so HMO stands for house in multiple occupancy. So it's just when you rent a house out room by room. If you can rent out a 4-bed house as a 5-bed room by room, turn one of the reception rooms into a bedroom,
yeah,
you're going to get, depending on where you are in the country, £1,000 a month. If you've got 5 tenants, that's £5,000 a month.
Crazy.
From one house, which is much more lucrative. What I did was, when I had a little portfolio of HMOs myself, but I didn't have the money to keep buying more and more, I was finding HMOs, but then I was utilizing deal sourcing. So I was finding the deals, but then I was passing them on to an investor.
Right.
And I was charging 2% of the purchase price. So if the house is £200,000, I'm getting paid £4,000, literally just for finding the house and passing it on to an investor, and the investor's paying me. You're not buying a house, but you're getting £4,000. You do that 10 times, you've got £40,000, now you buy a house.
You've mentioned a few great strategies. What would you say is the most common mistake people make in property today?
Well, the thing that holds people back the most is their mindset and their belief. The opportunities are there, but people hold themselves back by thinking, oh, I'm not from that type of background, or, oh no, I've got no money, I've got bad credit, and they take themselves out of the game.
Mm.
Anyone can find a reason as to why it can't work. Entrepreneurs are the problem solvers. They're the people that say, okay, it's going to be difficult, there's going to be a lot of challenges, planning problems, mortgages, all kinds of stuff, lack of finance, raising funds from investors, having the right contracts, and people go, oh, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, no. How can I find a solution?
What have you got, any projects that you're currently working on at the moment?
I've got loads in this area. I've got loads in the Midlands. I've got land developments, hotel renovations. I've,
yeah,
got a house down the road that I bought for my wife's parents, which is under renovation, literally just like 5 minutes down the road from here. And you're welcome, man.
Yeah, can we go check that out?
Yeah, bro, anything you want to see, man. Absolutely, I'll put the day aside.
Okay, so we've seen the glitz and glamours earlier on, but now we're actually in one of your current projects.
Yeah.
How did you come about sourcing this?
So we bought this for £500,000. The refurb is quite intensive because we've had, yeah, to get new everything, but we've got full-time builders and tradespeople that work for us, so we're going to get it done just around £30,000.
Okay. So if this project wasn't for your family, what would you do with it after the refurb?
I would sell it.
Why is that?
It wouldn't make sense to refinance it, because the mortgage payments would probably be about the same as the rent. Bought it for £500,000, spent 30 on it. It's probably going to be worth about 650, so it might be about £100,000 profit.
So for people entering the property game, there's a course that you have on offer, and that course has a fountain of knowledge. There's some people who obviously come out more successful, and there's some people who can say maybe it's a scam. What do you have to say to that?
For the people that say it's a scam, and they say that my courses are a scam, they're not the people that did it.
Right.
They're the people that are just skeptical. So I would say, you know, just do a bit more digging. In my opinion, the thing that's the real scam is the formal education system of
going to school for 16 years to then get a job and make £2,000 a month when the average rent in London is 2,400, that's a scam. And the property investor's crash course that I'm on is £1. Wow. So it's £1 with a day with me. Yeah, of course, there's advanced training that you can do, but if you think that's a scam, then I think you maybe you've been deluded in society or something.
Okay, so we've seen the projected refurb on this. You've given us a valuation. Let's head outside and talk about challenges in future. So Samuel, we've covered about 17 years worth of experience today. Have there been any challenges throughout your years that has been very costly?
Costly? I think the biggest mistakes or the biggest challenges most property investors or most developers will have is the build cost. Mm. So you think the build cost is going to be something. And then when you start taking stuff out, taking the wallpaper, and then there's mold, dry rot. So I think, that's cost me money. I mean, now I can walk into any house pretty much. I'm not being arrogant, but I can look around and I can price it up pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But when I started, I was just guessing. And if you get it wrong, it's directly costing you money, so.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a problem wide across the property game.
100%, and even the big projects.
Yeah.
And that's why now, like, my wife is a cost manager. It's important to have people around you, experts, specialists, property lawyers, accountants, surveyors, valuers, and get good yourself. You need to be able to at least get good enough so you can have an intelligent conversation.
So what would you say would be a typical mistake or where someone would go wrong in a property game?
I'd say not getting an independent building survey on a property before you buy it.
Okay.
I would say not getting your finances ready, particularly if you're buying at auction. If you're bidding on an auction property and then you're like, okay, now let me go and get the finance. And also location, looking at properties 20 meters away and it can literally be a different price. You've got to be really on the money when it comes to your due diligence.
Speaking about location, are all your properties based in the UK?
No, I've got houses all over the world. I've got properties across Africa. I mean, I've just built a couple of schools and a hospital in Uganda.
Wow.
I invested in an apartment complex in Ghana.
That's great to hear. For someone who's entering the property game, let's say today, what is a piece of advice you would give them?
Before you invest in property, invest in yourself. Find a book, find people that are doing it, and immerse yourself in the subject field. And baby steps.
Yeah.
Don't be trying to buy something massive. Sometimes people have big vision, but you've just got to start small.
Yeah.
And get good people around you.
Well, there you have it, guys. You've heard it from Samuel Leeds himself. This has been More Than Numbers.